It's time for Bleed Tech Blue Radio. This is your source for Louisiana Tech sports news. For the next 90 minutes, Bleed Tech Blue Radio goes deep inside La Tech football, basketball, and recruiting. Now here's your host, Jonathan Ford.
Welcome into Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. I am publisher of BleedTechBlue.com, Jonathan Ford, and host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Jared King co-hosting with me this season. Episode 2 of Season 7 are brought to us by
Keller Williams Parishwide Partners, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, and Dowling Smokehouse. Give us a call tonight on the Keller Williams Parishwide Partners hotline at 888-993-7762. You can email your questions to us at radio@bleedtechblue.com, or, of course, you can tweet us your questions, like some have already done tonight, with the hashtag BTBRadio.
Well, Jared, the basketball team. Well, of course, the football team plays OU Saturday, so we'll get into plenty of that. But in this first segment, we'll talk a little bit of basketball. They completed the three-game sweep of the Summer of Thunder
right.
in the Bahamas. Raheem Appleby seems to be back to his old self, averaged nearly, I think, 19 points.
He averaged over 19 points per game for the tournament, 19.6.
So that is good stuff for Louisiana Tech fans. I don't know if I expected him to be back this quickly, but here he is in rare form, I guess you could say. And the thing that cannot be mentioned enough is that they won three games against foreign teams without their leading scorer from a year ago, Alex Hamilton.
Right. Well, that speaks to – it really speaks to, you know, Michael Kaiser, Speedy Smith, Raheem Appleby, but also Kadar Davis had a really great two out of three games, and he looked good in all three. But some of the newcomers, Jacoby Boykins and Deion Griffin, they both played good minutes. They had solid minutes. They both contributed. Talking about a guy like, you know, Michael Kaiser had in that last game, he had three blocks. There was a time where he had who was it? It was Josh had almost a triple double. I mean, you know,
when Josh.
I'm trying to think of that kid's name. What is his name? Regardless, he had almost a triple double. Whoever he was.
Well, you got me confused now. Who this fellow?
I'll find it. I'll read it. It'll be right. I apologize to him in advance. I'm sorry.
But the basketball team, we talk about how well they did in that foreign tour in the Bahamas. It was such a necessity with all the newcomers and the new faces on the roster. And I think that without this, they would have been looking more at these exhibition games coming next season than they have to now because of the foreign tour. You look at the freshman of Deion Griffin, who was brought in to be a point guard. He's got some work to do with his ball handling skills, and I know that the coaching staff will do that in the off season. They'll have him doing some drills on his own. But that's something you can teach. What you can't teach is his length, his ability to finish at the rim, his shot. He may be the best 3-point shooter on the roster right now, and that's like I said, something you can't teach. Last Friday night at the Happening, Mike White said that they had gotten a commitment from a Midwest JUCO shooter. Well, we knew that they were still going after a 2013 signee, Dominique Jackson, who ended up at Olney College in Ohio. Well, Dominique Jackson is again a commitment for Louisiana Tech. He averaged 9 points a game as a freshman at Olney College. He had some games where he scored 33 points, 20 something points. So he's got the ability to fill the basket full of points, and that's something Tech needs. Is more, they can't have too many scorers in the way that Coach White plays offense. Is you've got to always have a hot hand behind the arc. So he's filled this roster with lots of players who can shoot the three.
Absolutely. I mean, we saw last year that they're going to shoot the three, regardless of whether or not they come out hot. I mean, we saw what they could do last year when they came out hot shooting the three, shot a really high percentage, put up a lot of points. But they don't. It's not. It's part of their game. It's not as if they're settling for 3-point shots. It's they're looking to take threes. It's part of their game. I'm also impressed with Speedy Smith's 3-point shooting. You know, even in this tournament. At the end of last year, it could be argued that Speedy was one of the best 3-point shooters on the team, which was something that he didn't come into Louisiana Tech with the ability to do. Not having Keon McNeil this year, having guys that can put the three ball in the basket will absolutely help.
And you, what it allows you to do is it allows you to spread the court and open up the inside for a Kaiser who's not necessarily a banger. I mean, let's not say that he's not.
No, he's not a banger.
So it spreads the floor so that he can get isolated one-on-one with somebody, and whether he decides to face up and take his mid-range jumper that he has gotten a whole lot better at and is that will be a weapon of his this season, or he decides to beat him with his quickness to the rim. To spread the floor is key for Mike Kaiser. He's not a guy that's going to be able to make a whole lot of plays in space or in close quarters. If he catches the ball at the top of the key with a spread court with some spacing, he's able to distribute the basketball. He's a very good passer. So that's why I say the spacing is such a key on offense.
Absolutely. Well, also, Alex Hamilton is a good passer. Raheem Appleby is a good passer. Speedy Smith is an excellent passer. I know you said that Deion Griffin is not as good of a ball handler, but he still has good court vision. I mean, all of these kids can pass the ball. They know where to go with it. And so when you spread the floor like that, there's always places to go with the ball, and these kids have the ability to find that guy. And, you know, if necessary, a guy like Kaiser, he can penetrate when necessary.
I think you were talking about Leo Edwards is who I think you were talking about.
Leo, not Josh. I was thinking of Josh Butler.
Why would you think about the walk-on versus the guy that was sitting out last year as a scholarship player? That's no one will ever know in the mind of Jared King.
Well, I played with Josh Butler at Lambright quite a bit last year because that's the only place where he got any playing time. And when I thought of it, I just kept thinking Josh Butler, but it's not.
But yes, Leo did nearly have a triple double in the Bahamas. Leo's a guy that's just he's a glue kind of player. What he does doesn't jump off the stat sheet. He reminds me of J.L. Lewis of a couple of years ago. You don't really think that he's doing a lot on the floor, but when they take him out, you realize that he's gone, or you realize something's missing because he's a very vocal player. He's directing the defense from down low, much like Janiah White in his young career. Janiah's the same way. His basketball IQ is through the roof. But getting the addition of Dominique Jackson, like I said, is big time for this staff, and they've got room for three more because they will graduate three players, and it's those three players that Coach White brought in his first recruiting class. That'll be a special night inside the Thomas Assembly Center when the night that Speedy, Kaiser, and Appleby play their final games as Bulldogs. I know there's some Tech fans at home probably tearing up just thinking about it, but that day will come, and they have to replace them, and they've already started with the addition of, like I said, Dominique Jackson. I think they'll look for a point guard. You lose Speedy, and then you're going to lose Alex Hamilton the year after, so you better add a point guard in this class. So I think that the next one will likely be a point guard, and then the third one, I think I wouldn't be surprised if they just take the best available guy, the best athlete that they can find. But they'll take whatever they can get because that's been obvious that Mike White's going to get athletic, long basketball players.
And Mike White's offense is really predicated on Speedy Smith's ability to push the ball up the floor, to find the open man, to make those passes. Speedy he's really turned into a leader on the floor. He had 35 assists for the tournament. three games, 35 assists. I mean, it's hard.
Getting those dimes.
Absolutely. It's hard to, you know, we talk about how, okay, they're going to have to add another point guard in this class, but you really don't realize just how difficult it is to add a point guard of Speedy's caliber. I mean, you know, he very well could be in, you know, a second-round NBA point guard.
Oh, he's very, very good, and I don't know if – it's so hard to make it in the NBA. That
sure.
I don't know if
most most second rounders never actually. I mean, they don't even. You know, most of them don't even make the team. But I'm just saying that that's the kind of ability that Speedy Smith has,
and
that
you're
going to try to replace.
And to put it in a little bit more perspective, before last season, if you would have said to anybody that Speedy had a chance in the NBA, they would have called you crazy.
Absolutely. You know, most thought that it was pretty clear that out of Speedy, Michael, and Raheem, that Speedy was probably third on that list of those guys. It was always clear that Raheem was the best player of those three, but Speedy Smith took a huge step last year, and that's not just in his basketball ability, but also just the leader that he turned into, and the way he carried himself on the floor, how excited he was, always able to, you know, to get the fans into the game, emotionally charge everyone. I mean, watching Speedy on the floor has been a lot of fun.
And one, that point guard that I think the Tech has a really good chance to get is Derek Jean out of Hollywood, Florida, MacArthur High School, 6'2", 170-pounder, another guard out of the St. Petersburg, Tampa, Florida area.
Yeah, Michael White doesn't recruit Florida. What are you talking about?
There's so many players in the state of Florida, you'd be silly not to go down there and look, and Tech does. And they have lots of success.
Yeah, they've had lots of success.
And a lot of that, keep talking about Speedy. Speedy is a lot of that reason. People know about Speedy's success at Louisiana Tech, and they realize that what's happening in Ruston, Louisiana, they can become another Speedy Smith. So Speedy is a lot of the reason that they've had a lot of success in St. Petersburg and Tampa. So they're not going to stop.
No, absolutely not. And, you know, we've talked about the success that they've had recruiting Florida. We still haven't seen what's going to come of Deion Griffin or Jacoby Boykins. I mean, we could be talking about just a, you know, absolutely unbelievable recruiting, you know, ground for Michael White. I mean, we haven't seen what those guys have actually been able to do yet, and we're already talking about what success he's had in that area.
In the next segment, we're going to talk a little football recruiting. We may, in that segment, talking expectations of football, may even take the whole thing to talk about football recruiting. Give us a call on the Parish Y Partners Hotline, 888-993-7762. The Keller Williams Parish Y Partners Hotline, 888-993-7762. We'll be back right after this.
Ready for a healthy dose of Louisiana Tech sports. Bleed Tech Blue Radio is back.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio and ESPN Radio 97.7. I am Jay Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com and host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Jared King, staff writer and co-host. A couple of sponsors.
Bleed Tech Blue Radio Season 7, brought to you by Keller Williams Parish Y Partners, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, and Dowling Smokehouse. Give us a call at Keller Williams Parish Y Partners Hotline at 888-993-7762 or email your questions to us at radio@bleedtechblue.com.
Or tweet at us, hashtag BTB Radio. We'll get to those. We've already gotten one at least. We'll get to those later in the show. There is a promotion going on right now at BleedTechBlue.com and all across the Rivals.com network. The Rivals 99 promotion, with an annual subscription, you get gift certificates for $99 worth of free gear for your favorite school. If you're listening to this show, odds are your favorite school is Louisiana Tech. So you get $99 of free Louisiana Tech gear with an annual subscription to bleedtechblue.com. Come check us out. You will not be disappointed. Football recruiting, that is what Rivals.com is most known for, is the football recruiting. And Tech, of course, we went through the commit list last week, sitting at 18 commitments with room for 7 more. Some offensive linemen will be some that they will try to finish the class off with. Offensive linemen is a position that kind of it starts off slow because there's so many offensive linemen. There's so many offensive linemen on every team that everybody's trying to make sure that they get the right guys. Some of the guys that Tech has offered at offensive line have committed to Oklahoma State, Cal, LSU, Texas, Rice, Vandy, one that Tech's gotten from Orange, Texas, and Ethan Reed. Oklahoma, another commitment from Pineville, Cody Ford, another LSU commitment that Tech's offered, a ULL guy, and then Devontae Lovett from Up and Strong, a commitment to Louisiana Tech. Then you look at the center that Tech has offered, Tyler Moore, uncommitted, but it looks like Tyler, more than likely, he's got his top five as Colorado, Minnesota, Oregon State, Texas, and Texas Tech. So that's kind of what recruiting offensive linemen this time of year, that's what it's like.
Right, and we saw, with Kirby Wixon, what happens. Some of these guys, they wait and they wait and they wait, and then by the time you're ready to make a decision, every place is filled up, and what are you going to do?
So he was a qualifier, and he had to go to junior college
and then for 2 years, and then has now
won.
Well, right.
Since he was a qualifier, whenever you are a full
qualifier. When you're a qualifier, you only have to go 1 year. When you're not a full qualifier,
you have to get
2 years.
AA.
Exactly. So Kirby goes to junior college. Now he's finally landed at Tech. But exactly, you're exactly right when it comes to recruiting offensive linemen at this time of year. It's just a slow process, and they're slow guys, so it makes sense.
Some of them are.
Yeah.
You know, the one that really kind of stands out to me that kind of blew up was Matt Womack from Senatobia, Mississippi at Magnolia Heights High School. He came to camp at Tech. This kid's enormous. At 6'7", 330 pounds, LSU offered him here recently, and he committed on July 20th to the Tigers. So that's the kind of thing that happens this time of year. They're watching these guys, and they're determining whether they want to offer him or not. And before that offer, his offer list did not look like what it does now. He's got offers from the likes of Louisville, from Ole Miss and Mississippi State, South Carolina. Those schools weren't around until probably in the last 2 months.
No, you're looking at a kid that also had offers from places like Georgia State, ULM, Troy. A kid with offer, he starts off with those kind of offers and then explodes, and now he's committed to LSU. Now, how much of that is a 6'7", 330-pound frame?
Well, you certainly can't teach that. You cannot teach 6'7", 330 pounds, and if he can move just a little bit, they're going to take – it's not even considered – I don't even call it a risk because he's 6'7", 330 pounds. You're gonna say, okay, here's a scholarship offer. Let's see what you can do, big boy. And that's what's happened. And, yes, the 6'7", 330-pound frame has a lot to do with it, and he's projected as an offensive tackle. Imagine that. So, yeah, it has a lot to do with it. I mean, you look at another one that Tech has offered out of Vicksburg, Mississippi, Drake Dorbeck at St. Aloysius High School in Vicksburg, 6'8", 310, Tech's only offer right now. But he's somebody to watch.
Absolutely.
Because of that frame.
Like you said, you can't teach size. 6'8", 310 pounds. You can't teach it. Tyler Pollard out of Hattiesburg, Mississippi is 6'6", 310 pounds. And he, of course, you know, he's not committed anywhere, but he's looking at places like Middle Tennessee, Southern Miss, Troy. So, you know.
If memory serves me correctly, I think his dad is a coach at Southern Miss. Sometimes that doesn't matter. Sometimes a kid wants to not play for the team that his dad coaches for.
Sure.
If it were me, I wouldn't want to play for the team my dad coached for.
Neither would I.
And not because my dad's a mean guy, but I want to be my own person.
Sure. At that, you know,
I don't want my teammates to look at me and say, "Oh, he's here because his dad's a coach."
Right. Or he's starting at second base because his dad's a coach. But anyway.
We've all seen that throughout our lives. And that's – he does have an offer for Southern Miss, and I think that's the story. Don't hold me to it. But it sure does make for good radio if that's the story.
Absolutely.
But like I've been saying, I expect them to finish off the class with offensive linemen. Defensive tackle is a spot that is that I think you can watch. There's a lot of offers out to defensive tackles. Courtney Wallace down the road and at Neville High School is somebody to continue to watch. I think Tech's got a shot. He's picked up an offer from Texas Tech. I think it's probably going to come down the wire between Tech and Texas Tech. His dad played at Louisiana Tech, and he likes the idea of playing at Tech, at just like his dad. His dad's name's on the Spirit of 88 Bulldog, the Bronze Bulldog. So that's kind of a neat deal. Charlie Matthews down at Airline High School, 6 foot, 287 pounder. He's somebody else to watch. John Washington at West Monroe High School, somebody to watch for Tech at defensive tackle. There's a lot of D tackles in North Louisiana this year. That's obvious whenever you go look at this. And Tech's got already has one committed in LaDante Davenport, 6'4", 254 pounder over at Northwood. I think that LaDante may slide out to the D end role as a Bulldog. But he could end, since he's already, let's call it 260, he's already 260 as a high schooler, he's going to get bigger.
Absolutely. But being at 6'2", 260, I mean, it's not as if he certainly doesn't have the size to be able to slide out and do that. What I want to point out is that we're talking about Tech offering kids from West Monroe, Bossier City, Dallas, Monroe, Shreveport, guys that are right all across this I-20 corridor. And guys like Manny Diaz and Marcus Giles and these types of – what am I saying these days? What's wrong with me today? But regardless, Marcus Giles just played second base for the Atlanta Braves. Oscar Giles is the coach that coaches at Louisiana Tech. Marcus Giles is one of my favorite players. Anyway, these guys are recruiting this I-20 corridor, and they're doing a really good job, and LaDante Davenport is a prime example of that.
Yeah, you look at it, Davenport had an offer from Arkansas State and University of Memphis before he committed to the Bulldogs. So these are guys with offers, and that's it. More than anything about this commitment list from Tech right now is how many offers most of these guys have. So what are you doing to that screen? Is it a touch screen?
I just found out that it's a touch screen, which is part of the reason why I messed up Giles' name. I zoomed in on accident on Marcus. Our name said Marcus. And I was trying to say Oscar Giles, and I read Marcus, super zoomed in, huge on this, what looks like a 17-inch screen. And then Giles, Mark. So I immediately put together Atlanta Braves, Marcus Giles, second base.
But I look over in Jared's drawing pictures on this screen, and I'm like, what in the world is happening here? This is radio.
I think it's time for
a
break.
This isn't coloring.
That's what I think.
This isn't coloring time. Let's take that break. And on the other side of the break, we'll talk football. What our expectations are of the season, our expectations of the offense, expectations of the defense, what you can expect, and we'll give some season record predictions, even though we're really bad at this, but it's fun to talk about. Give us your predictions on what you expect, what you're most excited to see, what you're least excited to see. Give us your call on the Keller Williams Parishwide Partners Hotline, 888-993-776. Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. I am Jay Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com and host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. I'm the publisher of BleedTechBlue.com and host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. I'm pulling a Jared
King
here.
There you go. There you go.
You're rubbing off on me.
Well, hey, you told me that if I continue to do that kind of stuff, you're going to make fun of me. I'm going to let this one slide. Next time, I'm going to make fun of you. Bleed Tech Blue Radio Season 7 is brought to you by Keller Williams Parishwide Partners, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, Dowling Smokehouse. Give us a call at the Keller Williams Parishwide Partners hotline at 888-993-7762. Email your questions to us at radio@bleedtechblue.com or tweet your questions to us with the hashtag BTBRadio.
So we talked about – we had some some questions tweeted at us, at least one. Somebody asked, what do we expect as far as pace of play offensively? Will Tech huddle this year? The easiest way to describe this, and this is the way that Holtz has done it, and it's not a cop out, and it sounds like one, is Tech will be multiple on both sides of the ball. You'll see them huddle. If they think they've got a mismatch, they won't huddle. You'll see them line up with the man under, with the quarterback under center. They've added a tight end to the mix this year. The depth chart has them with four wide so your guess is as good as ours as what's to expect from Tech offensively, but I do expect them to be some up tempo and some huddle.
Sure. I mean, honestly, it's kind of hard to say, but let me tell you something that I can expect. I can expect that depth chart is phooey. It really is.
It's phooey, says Jared King.
They gave us it's just a very generic depth chart. The stuff that we've seen so far basically only says that what the depth chart says is actually not what we're going to see a lot of. What we're going to see, like he said, we're just going to see a lot of, it's just going to be really multiple. It's going to be a lot of different stuff on both sides of the ball, which sounds like a cop-out answer, but it's the honest truth. We really will see a lot of diversity on each side of the ball, which we expected from Coach Diaz. We knew that with his style of play on the defensive side of the ball, there were going to be a lot of different looks. The Viper position, stuff like that. I mean, a lot of different things going on defense. What we weren't expecting was what we've seen on offense, which is, again, a lot of different looks.
And in case people have missed it, Skip Holtz will be calling the plays this year. It's not a surprise for anybody that's been around this spring and this fall. He's been calling those plays at both of those. During the spring he called him, and there in the fall he's called him at practice. Coach Peterson will still be he's still listed as the offensive coordinator. I'm sure he's still got a lot of input, but he will be the eyes in the sky at all the games from the press box, and will be saying the tendencies of the defenses to Coach Holtz over the headsets, and then Coach Holtz will be making the final call on the field from what it sounds like. There's some people who think this is a bad thing. I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing. When your strength of your football team is running the football, and that's obviously what Tech's strength is with running backs like Kenneth Dixon, Blake Martin, and Jared Kraft, and Tywan Walters, you gotta play to your strengths. And Tony Peterson comes from a very pass-happy offense at Marshall. He's a very good offensive coordinator when it comes to the spread and airing the ball out. Well, that's not what this roster is built for right now. So why try to do that when you can't do it?
Absolutely. I mean, we both know that the strength of this offense is Kenneth Dixon, and we're going to probably see, you know, a pretty heavy dose of Kenneth Dixon. Like Skip said in his presser this week, honestly, there's still a lot of new faces on the offensive line, stuff like that. New faces at quarterback, new faces on the outside at wide receivers, new positions with fullbacks and tight ends and that type of deal. There's just so many new things going on that it's hard not to say, okay, we've got a freshman All-American running back in Kenneth Dixon. Why wouldn't we hand him the ball?
And Cody Sokol was officially named the starter yesterday during Skip Holtz's weekly radio show. That was not a surprise. Ryan Higgins will be the number two. Taylor Burch will be the number three. Unless something drastically changes, that means that both Price Wilson and Alex Woodall will be redshirting for Louisiana Tech, which is a good thing. You got those guys now will be on campus for at most 5 years. And that's a good thing when it comes to the quarterback position. Those guys can do nothing but get better. One group that I am excited to see how they play when the bullets start flying is the offensive line. That group is pretty much the same. Three of the five starters return: Darryl Brown, Trey Carter, and Mitchell Bell at right tackle. Dale Brown at left tackle, Trey Carter at left guard. Joseph Brunson from Ruston will get the start at center, the second center from Ruston High in 3 years for Louisiana Tech to have as a starter, last being, of course, Stephen Warner. Stephen Warner, now an engineer. So he has made a life after football. The right guard is Rick Greenwalt. His brother is John Greenwalt, who Tech fans will remember from the 2012 and 2013 seasons. Rick is probably the funniest guy on the team. He keeps everybody loose, and he's become really a vocal leader this fall, and it's something that Tech has needed. Probably the surprise of fall camp to me was Connor Smith, who will be starting at the inside receiver position. He just so happens to have played at the same high school that I went to, Fountain Blue High School down in Mandeville. He's 6'3", 206 pounds. He came in as a quarterback, realized that he wasn't going to see much playing time as a quarterback, so he moved on. Said, I want to get on the field. He found a way on as a redshirt sophomore and a former walk-on. His dad, Wayne Smith, was a basketball player for Tech many years ago, and he will be making his first career start at Oklahoma. He's just a big body and will be – he understands offensive football. He knows how to run routes, and that's essential when it comes to playing a receiver position. Paul Turner's been nicked up a little bit this fall, but he will be playing and starting at Oklahoma. And all you had to do was see the highlight of his first play of the spring game to see what Paul Turner can do.
Absolutely. Paul Turner is the kind of playmaker at the wide receiver position that Tech sorely lacked last year. Most thought that DJ Banks was going to be that kind of catalyst on offense, especially outside, and it just never really developed. Paul Turner will help, will absolutely help this team.
You talk about DJ Banks. That's one of those things. We saw lots of DJ Banks against Kansas, and it worked.
Right, absolutely.
And we never saw it again.
And then we never saw that again. And, crazy things happen. But I do think that Paul Turner is going to – he will be a catalyst for this team, especially being able to make plays at that outside receiver position.
A move, I don't know if in case you missed it, Tevin King, of course, lightning to Kenneth Dixon's Thunder, has been moved to inside receiver. He's playing – at the same position as Hunter Lee, Trent Taylor, and Hunter Lee and Trent Taylor. When you look at that position group with Hunter Lee, Trent Taylor, and Tevin King, that's impressive.
Absolutely.
There will be times, without a doubt in my mind, that Hunter Lee and Trent Taylor will be on the field together, and then Tevin King will be on the field with those guys as well. That's why we say that this team will be multiple and not to take a ton out of this first depth chart.
Absolutely. I mean, you're exactly right, especially when it comes – I mean, you're talking about guys like Hunter Lee and Trent Taylor are two of the most sure-handed receivers on the team. They're guys that, regardless of their size, take a lot of licks, and they just keep going. Trent Taylor was absolutely one of my favorite players last season just because it wasn't what I wasn't expecting it. I think Trent will have another big year this year and will build on what he did last year. Tevin King, I mean, he's a playmaker whenever he gets the ball, regardless of whether it's going to be, at the outside receiver, inside receiver, running back, however you give him the ball, Tevin King will make plays. He's just too fast and shifty not to.
And moving him to receiver gets him out of the hog mollies.
Exactly.
And getting beat up. So I think that's a good thing. He is only 5'7", 160 pounds, and 160 pounds is about as big as Tevin King's ever going to be. He is ripped.
Yeah, absolutely. You're exactly right. But I feel like 160 pounds is like one of Jason's thighs. I mean,
or my thighs.
Well, I just wanted to pick on Jason because I know he's listening out there somewhere.
And he can't defend himself.
Exactly. So, but regardless, like you said, it gets him out of the trenches. It gets him away from taking all those big hits. And, it's going to help his career. He's just been be kind of almost injury riddled. And it's just it's because of his size. Lack thereof.
At the other outside receiver position will be Sterling Griffin, who of course is the transfer from South Florida, who played last year. He has been granted a sixth year from the NCAA, so they might be calling him Uncle Sterling by the end of the year because he may have a master's degree by the time he leaves Louisiana Tech. Marlon Watts, kind of one of the surprises on this depth chart at the number two outside receiver position as a true freshman, 6'2", 279 pounds. Really has good ball skills, and he's fast, runs good routes, can go up and get the ball, but he's got to gain more weight.
Yeah.
Not to cut you off, but I think that they would have liked to redshirt Marlon, but because of the lack of depth at outside receiver.
Exactly, and, which is what I was going to say.
And how beat up they've been this fall. I mean, Carlos Henderson isn't even on this three deep. You can call it a three deep at this outside receiver position. And I think he'll play against Oklahoma. I think Carlos Henderson will be there. And I think he'll see several snaps.
Going back to Marlon, like you said, he runs a good route. He's got good hips. He runs a really solid route. The problem is that, you know, like you said, he is undersized. He needs to gain some weight. But Marlon is one of the most, regardless of whether or not it actually has anything to do with football, he's one of the nicest kids you'll ever meet. I'm really happy for him that he's able to, you know, get on this too deep like that. But he's got to gain some weight. Like you said, there's just not any depth at the outside receiver position, and it really puts you in a bind.
Before we get to Rafe, we'll go through the defense real fast of the depth chart. Houston Bates will get the start at the Viper, which is no surprise, a transfer from Illinois. Mike Schrang, the former safety, yes, he's gone from safety
to linebacker to defensive end.
6'2", 240-pounder. You can't play safety at 240. Defensive tackle, kind of another one of the surprises. A late signee several years ago, junior college transfer, Devin McKinney, 6', 288-pounder. He's going to make his first career start with D'Angelo Brooks from Airline backing him up. Vernon Butler gets the start alongside him, 6'3", 317 pounds. He's a McDouble away from 330. Malcolm Pishon, the number two spot there, 6'3", 333. And a Salmon saw a lot of playing time last year. He's tough to handle with a single blocker. Vontarius Dora will get the start at the defensive end position with Andre Taylor packing him up. Linebackers are a position I think are better than people give it credit for. Mitch Villamez and Bo Feet are listed as oars at the outside linebacker position. Tony Johnson and Nick Thomason, the one and two at middle linebacker. Terrell Pinson at starter at the other outside linebacker position, and C.J. Cleveland as his backup. Lloyd Grogan or Kentrell Bryce, the native of Ruston, at the safety positions. Xavier Woods from West Monroe and Cedric Cooper, another true freshman from Shaw, making his way onto the two deep in the first game against Oklahoma. And then the corners. There's not a whole lot more than you can say about the corners for Louisiana Tech. They go too deep, and there's not a whole lot of talent drop-off with any of them. Levander Liggins and Bryson Abraham on one side, Adarius Barnes and Colby Brown on the other. Let's go to the Keller Williams Parish-Wide Partners Hotline with our good friend in his weekly segment, Rafe. How's it going, my man?
Man, it's going really good. I'm super excited about this weekend. You know, one thing that nobody can deny is that this game's intriguing, not just to those of us in Norman and Ruston, but really throughout the country. I think everybody's poised to look and get a view and see how good OU is going to be. And as far as Tech, you know, there's nothing but opportunity. I mean, we're not expected to win the game. You know, most people don't expect for us to compete in the game. But I'm curious to see if OU can just line up and march down the field on us. You know, our defense on paper looks formidable, and there's a couple of additions that make it seem like they can be more than simply formidable. They can actually be a good defense on a national scale. So if OU can't just march down the field on us, then really that type of more conservative approach that Holtz is going to bring plays to our favor, because you really don't want to open the game up against OU. You know, I think that would be kind of stupid.
Oh, I absolutely think I don't think you go out there vanilla. You go to try to win the game, but if it becomes obvious in 2.5 quarters that you're out man and it's out of reach, then you go vanilla. You don't want to get anybody hurt. Just live to fight another day. That's how I would approach it. You don't ever want to go into a game and not act like you can win it, because that doesn't trickle down well to your players.
Yeah, that, I mean, it's not just the play not to, to lose a bet, but my point is that if you have good running backs and you can keep them from scoring quickly, and you can kind of manage the game with your defense, then you can kind of pick your plays, you know, establish a running game, and then maybe, and we're going to see what Sokol looks like under the lights, but you know, hit a pass here and there, and then before long, you can build some momentum and make the thing interesting. I'm not ready to concede a loss. I mean, maybe it's because it's the first game of the season, and I have, don't have enough evidence to suggest that we can't play, but I think that our players have the mentality that they're going to go there and they're going to play and they're playing to win, and I think that really a run-oriented attack is the best way to win there, because they want to play up-tempo, and then if you play up-tempo, you kind of play into their hands, and the entire game is more chaotic and big play-oriented versus more of a ball-control type game.
Rafe, in the next segment, we're going to talk about our record predictions are on the season. Give us yours and what you. I know that, like you said, there's so many unknowns going into Saturday and this season. It's hard to do this, and it's really, it's a crapshoot whether you're going to be correct or not. It always is. But what would you predict this early?
My early prediction is 7-5, and there, I have several reasons for those.
We know you do. You always do, Rafe.
Yeah, but, you know, one reason is because of the way the schedule lines up. I mean, the schedule's definitely tilted heavier towards the front end. There's games, winnable games, right there after the first three. And not that we can't win at North Texas or win at ULL, but we don't necessarily have to. But anyway, once you kind of get your identity going, I'm just looking at it. I don't think these teams are taking shoulders better than we are, I mean, at this point. So, I think 7-5 is a fair prediction. I've had a lot of people argue me down from that, but not with enough evidence to make me back off of it.
We appreciate you calling, like always, Rafe. We'll talk to you again next week, I'm sure.
Yeah, man. Talk to you later.
Thanks, Rafe. Rafe joining us here on the Keller Williams Parish-Wide Partners Hotline, 888-993-7762. Why don't you get into it as well? Give us your predictions on what you expect this season from the Bulldogs. It does start Saturday at 6 o'clock in Norman, Oklahoma, against top five ranked Oklahoma Sooners. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio and ESPN Radio 97.7. I'm Jay Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com and host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Kerry Murdoch with Soonerscoop.com joining us shortly on the Keller Williams Parish-Wide Partners Hotline. Jared, a couple of sponsors, then we'll get to Kerry with Soonerscoop.com.
Sure. Bleed Tech Blue Radio is brought to you by Keller Williams Parish-Wide Partners, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, and Dowling Smokehouse. Join us on the Keller Williams Parish Wide Partners Hotline, just like Kerry is doing, at 888-993-7762.
Kerry, how's it going, my man?
I'm good, fellas. Just leaving OU's practice, heading home, getting ready to write some stories. So, good day.
Anything groundbreaking today at practice?
No, not really. Everything, kind of yesterday, Bob Stoops had his weekly press conference and updated on all kind of the key issues that we've been tracking. It's been a strange fall because we've really been tracking more court cases than we have things that are happening on the football field and NCAA issues. So it's going to be nice just to kind of get back to football, which is kind of what we started doing today.
Has it felt like you're publishing TMZ.com lately?
Maybe like Law and Order Online would be more like it.
I hear you, man. Well, we talked with Josh last week, and we talked some ins and outs, and we'll get your opinion as well. I know that both of you guys are not short of opinions, so we'll get yours for this matchup Saturday. One thing that Josh thought that Tech may a place that they may be able to find success is running at striker. Is there somebody else? Maybe could they find success running period against OU?
Well, that's one of the key things. Though you won't have their leading tackler, Frank Shannon, returning leading tackler, Frank Shannon, for this game because he's kind of embroiled in a Title IX controversy at the university. He's been officially suspended from the school for a year, but he's been able to get a stay to remain a student at OU. But Bob Stoops, even though he's been practicing, he's not going to play him. So you're going to have a young guy in Jordan Evans in there at middle linebacker that is a true sophomore, a little undersized, very athletic, but what little we've seen of him, he played as a true freshman last year, was actually really good, but got hurt and missed about the last half of the season. So there's going to be some questions about their run game. They're running, really, it's like a 5-2. They call it a 4-3. And they play essentially five down linemen. Eric Stryker is considered a linebacker, and he's got 215 pounds. But this is a defense that they switched to a year ago, and they were capable of giving up big plays. They gave up big runs to Texas, to Notre Dame, and obviously to Alabama in the Sugar Bowl last year. So you can hit this defense and pop them for a big run play here and there from what we've seen.
And then he also talked about the middle of the secondary. The safeties were kind of a question mark as well, and that Tech may be able to exploit some weaknesses there.
Well, young secondary, and then Quentin Hayes is the only returner at safety. They're going to start a sophomore and Ahmad Thomas. Hatari Bird is another key player there, and then a true freshman, Stephen Parker, all involved at the safety position. I'll tell you this. I think the most susceptible position on defense probably going into this is the one that I have the biggest question marks about is Julian Wilson at the cornerback. He was a starting nickelback a year ago, and he has moved to corner. This kid played locally at Southmore High School, just right up the road from Norman. He's a guy that, we always questioned whether he had corner skills coming out of high school. He was a track star, but a straight line runner. And I think we're all kind of curious to see if he can really handle that position of playing a true cornerback, because he's never had to do it here at Oklahoma before. So that's, to me, more than the safeties, that's where my biggest questions are heading into this opener with Julian Wilson.
You look at the line on this game, Kerry, it's 38. That's a lot. That's a big point margin. And no matter who you're playing, that's a tough spread. I mean, to cover. How do you see that playing out?
Well, I think it really comes down to how well Trevor Knight plays at quarterback. They've got a lot of new receivers that they're trying to incorporate into this offense. Although, I'll tell you this: Sterling Shepard is as good a receiver as we've seen at Oklahoma. And, I mean, he's up there. He has the potential to be up there with the Ryan Broyles and the Mark Claytons, guys that were All-Americans. So he's going to be a load for anybody to handle in the Big 12. And he was even a load for Alabama to handle last year in the Sugar Bowl. So if Trevor Knight and Sterling Shepard kind of ease into it as a duo, I think that's what they'll do. And he's going to have to find some other targets to kind of be able to expand this offense a little bit. Now, the one thing about Oklahoma is they're going to be bigger and more physical in their running game this year. Their running backs are just massive compared to what they were a year ago. All guys that are, over 200 pounds, 6'2". They've even got a true freshman that's 5'11", but 243, 248, somewhere around in there, that's just been tattooing people all throughout fall camp. So I think Oklahoma will score some points in this game. I think the defense has a potential to be scary good. Are they going to be ready to put that out there on the field right away? I think with the safeties and the corners and a little bit of youth there up front, they're going to be dynamic. I mean, it's going to be really difficult, I think, for Louisiana Tech to establish any type of physical presence in this game.
I tend to agree with you there. When you look at especially this point of attack at the nose tackle with Phillips at, 6'6", 360, is that even being generous?
I wouldn't say he's quite that big. He slimmed down quite a bit, but I'd say 320, 330 is easy to see him being. But, I mean, he's a very talented guy. He's one of those guys – he had back surgery during the offseason, so they're a little bit concerned about him. We don't really get to watch practices, so we don't know how much he's been held out, just that they've held him out a little bit for precautionary reasons. But I would imagine that, you know, if things somehow got out of hand early, he'd probably be removed from the game pretty quickly just to give him a little rest. But, I mean, they were a much better defense in all those games I mentioned, Texas, Notre Dame, and Alabama. Those big run plays they gave up were when they lost Jordan Phillips. When he was in there, they were a different defense up front. Now they've matured with Charles Tapper and Geno Grissom, Eric Stryker, and Chukwuma Dulowe up front. And then they've got a lot of young guys with a lot of talent up front. So that's just the one area. The offensive line and defensive line, it's as good as it has been maybe in 5 years at Oklahoma.
Yeah, that offensive line is just massive. And whenever you talk about the running backs being as big as they are, do you think that they may try to lead on the running game early?
Well, I mean, this is a team that rushed for almost 3,000 yards a year ago. They rushed for more yards per rush than they ever have in the Stoops era. You know, they set the tone with the run. They are really, with Trevor Knight at quarterback, they're a zone read team that looks to run to set up the pass. So the philosophy has changed a little bit. It's no longer the Sam Bradford, Jason White throw for 400 yards a game. I know they threw for a lot of yards against Alabama, but really, when they've had their most success, it's been with Trevor Knight. That is, it's been by making big chunks of yardage on the ground. I really think that they'll lean on the run game. Yes.
Okay. And I know you can't watch practice, but what's been the feel of fall camp? Has Stoops had any concerns of? And that's it doesn't sound like coach speech. That sounds like a legitimate concern.
Well, I mean, Bob is probably one of the more positive, you know, people that you'll ever be around. I mean, it takes a lot for him to come in and express disappointment in his team. He hasn't done that so far this fall. Everything that he said is very positive from his perspective. I know, you know, Mike Stoops, defensive coordinator, he's a little bit more honest in how he evaluates his team. And he was early in preseason practice. He certainly had some things to say about this team living too much on what they did last year in the Sugar Bowl. And he was concerned about the focus and whether or not that, you know, they were really locked in. And since fall practice has gone on, since we're game week, he seems to be you know, really happy with the way that they prepared throughout the preseason and heading into this game. So none of the players, they've got, like I said, so much experience and so much leadership on that side of the ball and on the offensive line. I think that this has probably been about as good an offseason just from terms of not being overconfident, not being focused, and still being considered a top five team that I've seen in a while.
Do you think that the missing Dorio Green, Beckham, and Mixon will hurt this team?
No. Because Hale Hart, he's a difference maker no matter what campus he is. If he's at Alabama, he's Julio Jones. I mean, if he's at Oregon, he makes an immediate impact on their team. So missing a guy like that, yeah. I think with Mixon, it's kind of something that they never had. He got into his incident before practices even started. They were just getting ready to start, so he'd never practiced with the team. They've never seen him out on a field, and it's almost, you know, his absence really has made him a non-factor. And I don't think it's anything that's got the team down, because they really have no idea what they're missing out on with Mixon.
Well, Kerry, we really appreciate you joining us this week, and Josh last week. It's been a pleasure having y'all on Bleed Tech Blue Radio, and look forward to talking to you guys soon.
All right, Jonathan. Hey, appreciate it, man.
Thanks, Kerry. Kerry Murdoch, Soonerscoop.com. Tell you what, there's not anybody on that beat that I don't think knows that team better than Soonerscoop.com. I'm very impressed with everything they do on the website. Go check them out, Soonerscoop.com. We'll take this break. Other side of the break, we'll continue our expectations of the season and also talk a little Oklahoma game and what we expect from that one. This is Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7.
Yeah.
Bleed Tech Blue Radio here on ESPN Radio 97.7. Man, I wish people knew what fun radio stations were in breaks. Joe Dirt needs his own XM radio show. Doesn't he?
Yeah.
Joe's like, just go.
Joe does. He certainly does. Look, Bleed Tech Blue Radio Season 7 is brought to you by Keller Williams Parish Wide Partners, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, and Dowling Smokehouse. Give us a call on the Keller Williams Parish Wide Partners hotline at 888-993-7762. Email your questions to radio@bleedtechblue.com, or you can tweet us your predictions, your questions, concerns, whatever it may be, with the hashtag BTB Radio.
Let's look at this schedule before we get into more Oklahoma talk, since we missed that earlier. Oklahoma's going to be a loss. I think everybody it's going to be a consensus. Do we all agree with that, Jared?
Yeah, absolutely. I agree that it'll be a loss. We'll talk more later about predictions and stuff like that, but I do agree that it'll be a loss.
A ULL game, I think that's a toss-up. And this two-game stretch right here, ULL and North Texas, Tech does not need to go 0-2 in this two-game stretch.
No. One of the most telling – we'll be able to figure out pretty quickly how the season is going to go. We really need – what we need to see from the offense and the defense and stuff, not against Oklahoma, but in week two and week three, in order to tell what's going to happen this year. But somehow, some way, Skip Holtz needs to find how to win two games in September.
Two games in September, I would agree with that. I mean, Northwestern State should be a W.
Right, yeah.
They are returning a lot, which people are saying. But I don't. And last year the Lamar game was close. I will grant everyone that. But this is a different team than last year.
Yeah.
Said earlier, I still don't have a whole lot. I don't know what to expect. But I expect that to be a W. And I think that they need to find a way to get a victory against ULL or North Texas in week two or three. If they can't find a W between one of those two, getting to 6-6 is going to be mighty hard.
And personally, I think that I really think that the North Texas game will be a win. Forgive me if I sound like I'm being a homer, which I'm certainly not. I've been looking at it. ULL game could certainly be a win as well.
I agree with that.
So, really, they could win three. Best case scenario is three.
But my point is, as little as we know, really going into the season, if they can't find a W between ULL and North Texas,
right,
6-6 is going to be mighty, mighty difficult.
Absolutely.
Northwestern State, the game after North Texas, we'll call that a W. Then they go to Auburn. We'll call that a loss.
Sure.
That offense is unbelievable. Then they'll host UTEP. We'll call that a W. UTSA is another toss-up. UTSA, if they can find a quarterback, will be good.
UTSA will be good. They're always well coached. They've got a lot of seniors on that team,
and they play with a chip on their shoulder.
Absolutely. Thankfully, it's in the Joe. Tech does not have to travel to San Antonio. I think that does help. The Roadrunners, I mean, they have a lot of fans and a lot of loud fans. It's always impressive that they've been able to adopt that team like that.
Because they don't have any other. They have the Spurs, and the Spurs that season does not really overlap college football.
Right? No, you're exactly right. They've adopted that team. Attendance is always great. I think Tech wins that game.
I don't know. That's why I'm calling it a toss up. Southern Miss on the road in Hattiesburg at a 2:30 kickoff. If that's a nighttime kickoff, the Rock becomes a different place at night. So I like Tech's chances there. I know Southern Miss is down, but that's a rivalry game. It really is. And those games are always closer than they probably should be. So I'll call it a W, though.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed.
Then they'll host Western Kentucky the week after. Well, that's a toss-up as well to me. Western Kentucky's always pretty good.
I think – I don't know. I think it'll be
– we'll know – like we've been saying, we'll know a whole lot more after next weekend in Lafayette.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. I really don't think that you're going to be able. I don't think you're going to be able to take a lot from this Oklahoma game. I really don't. I think that week two will answer a lot more questions than week one. I don't think there's any doubt about it.
Then they go to on the road to UAB and Old Dominion. I think both of those will be victories. UAB is in the first year with a season with a first year head coach. And then they finish the year on the road against or at home against Rice at an 11 a.m. kickoff. I think that's a loss.
Really?
That's why I say that a victory between ULL and North Texas, they have to find one there, or 6-6 will be mighty difficult.
I mean, one good thing is that they do get to close against Southern Miss, Western Kentucky, UAB, Old Dominion, UTEP's in there.
I mean, there's potentially five victories in 7 weeks, in 6 weeks there between UTEP, Southern Miss, Western Kentucky, UAB, and Old Dominion.
Absolutely. UTSA, I feel like UTSA is going to end up being a win. I don't know what to expect from Rice, but by the time they play, I think we'll have a pretty good idea.
He's got things rolling over there.
I mean, no doubt. I mean, Bailiff is a great coach. I don't know. I don't think Rice is going to win that side of the division again this year.
I honestly think the Western Division of Conference USA is up for grabs.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Tech could not have asked for a better draw scheduling the Eastern Division.
Absolutely.
They stayed away from Marshall, stayed away from FAU, stayed away from – and FIU is not going to be very good, but FAU is better than FIU.
Right.
But Marshall's going to run – I think they run away with the whole conference.
Sure.
Their hardest game this season is University of Ohio.
Yeah, I think Marshall runs the table. I think they win the conference. But, I mean, it doesn't do them any good as far as the committee of four. I mean, in the tournament of four and all this stuff. But regardless, I think Marshall wins the conference no matter who comes out of the West.
Yeah, and I thought that last year whenever Rice faced them and Rice beat them. So, I mean, you never know. But I that's what I expect, and that's what we're talking about is expectations. Now we'll go on to our expectations of Saturday's game in Norman. Let's actually take an early break, John, and on the other side of the break, we'll get to those expectations and give our predictions of Saturday's game in Norman. This is Bleed Tech. Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. Our final segment of this, the second episode of Season 7. If you've missed previous segments, we'll be podcasted on iTunes and be archived on SoundCloud. Come check it out. Don't forget about the Rivals 99 promotion going on right now. Get $99 towards free gear when you sign up for an annual subscription at BleedTechBlue.com. Come check us out.
Bleed Tech Blue Radio Season 7 is brought to you by Keller Williams Parish Y Partners, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, and Dowling Smokehouse. Join us for this last segment of Bleed Tech Blue Radio on the Keller Williams Parish Y Partners hotline at 888-993-7762. Of course, you can still email your questions to radio at BleedTechBlue.com, and it's not too late to tweet your questions with the hashtag BTBRadio.
Well, Jared, expectations of Oklahoma will be the primary discussion of this segment. What I've been talking about the majority of the show is how I don't know what to expect this season, and that remains. I don't know what to expect.
Well, last year's big word, I guess, to describe the team, both on the offensive side of the ball, the defensive side of the ball, the coaching staff, was unknown. It was a lot of unknowns. Skip Holtz kept using the word unknown. We use the word unknown here on the show quite a bit. And in his presser, Holtz described the offense as being a bunch of unknowns. And I really think that is the case once again this year. We just don't know what to expect on the offensive side of the ball. Now, on the defensive side of the ball, we certainly do have an idea of what to expect, and it's going to be multiple fronts. It's going to be lots of blitzing. But still, like Skip said last year, like Skip said as presser, like we've been saying since last year, there's still a lot of unknowns.
And because of all those unknowns, I don't know where to put this team.
Right. Well, and
that's why I say they could be 5-7. I think they could be 7-5.
Sure, and I totally agree. I do think 7-5 is probably the ceiling. 4-8 is also realistic. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I think they could, like you said, 5-7 or 7-5.
They will be better on the field this year. I believe that wholeheartedly. But the schedule is so brutal.
Exactly. The product on the field will certainly be better than last year, which some may say hard to be worse. But the product on the field will be better this year. The problem with this year is that out-of-conference schedule is so difficult. Like we've been saying, they close with several winnable games. But is it enough to combat your first four or five weeks of the season?
So let's talk about this game. I think OU is going to lean on the run early and often. Kerry talked about how they ran the ball more last season than they ever did in the Stoops era. And I think they're going to begin this season doing the same. With Trevor Knight being a zone read quarterback, Tech's defensive ends, Houston Bates, I know is going to be disciplined because that's the kind of football player he is. He's got to be disciplined on the zone read. And so does Vontarius Dorr. Dorr is now a junior. It's time to put on your big boy panties and play disciplined football.
And Houston Bates played a hybrid role in Illinois. He played defensive end, linebacker, kind of a hybrid thing. He stood up a lot, rushed off the edge a lot. I mean, Houston Bates will certainly be able to fill that Viper position like Diaz likes to have. What I want to point out is that in his career, when he moved to Middle Tennessee State University, when he went to Mississippi State, even when he moved to Texas, even though they did have that disappointing second season, every one of those stops, the defense improved immediately. First season for every one of those teams. And Mississippi State, he took them to top 25 nationally in scoring defense and rushing defense and tackles for loss. We're talking about a guy who's never had a season in his coaching career where he's averaged less than 2 sacks per game because he likes to blitz. He likes to bring pressure. He likes to attack that pocket. And we all agree that Tech's strength on the defensive side of the ball is certainly the secondary. Getting some pressure on the quarterback will only give the secondary more opportunities to make some plays. Like you said in the break, what if you call a run play and you get past that first initial contact with the blitz, then your secondary is going to have to be making tackles down the field, and that certainly is a concern.
I think that's something that Tech has to worry about. If you do blitz, and that's you are susceptible to big plays, whether it's getting beat deep on a throw or they happen to call, they figure out where your blitz is coming from, and they run to the other side, and then you don't have any tacklers on that side. That's what the blitzes are make you more susceptible to. But it also makes you susceptible to making big plays on defense. So it's kind of a give and take. Offensively for Tech, Cody Sokol, he needs to go into the game and just – early on, they need to lean on the running game, and if that's not going, if they have to take some three and outs early, you just got to make sure that you keep them from scoring if you want to stay in the game. But I think they have to rely on the running game early to get those young players used to playing in that kind of an environment.
Not to go back to the defense, but what I do want to point out that Oklahoma does play a hurry up. They do play a fast-paced game, and it'll be interesting to see. I mean, the two deep is going to be tested in week one with the hurry up. I mean, against a team that's going to line up that fast, the next play doesn't start at the snap. It starts as soon as the whistle blows at the end of that play. You immediately have to get ready to go to the next play. And has Tech's conditioning improved from a season ago? Are they going to be able to stay out there? You really have to be able to combat a fast-paced team like that, kind of a high-octane offense, you have to have 22 guys that can play, not 11. So it'll be interesting, to see how the depth of the defense is tested in week one.
I like the defensive backs as far as playing the pass.
Absolutely.
But I don't think that Trevor Knight's going to do a lot of that.
No, you're right. He only threw for 1,600 yards last season.
So when the team ran for 3,000 and he's threw for 1,600, now he didn't start the season.
Right.
They had Blake Bell, who is now a tight end, which is as weird enough as it is. So I don't know. As far as predicting a score, I could see it being 49, maybe not 49. Let's call it 42-17.
See, I feel like that's almost that's a kind of a almost a pessimistic outlook toward the game, because I almost feel as though Oklahoma, they're probably gonna, they're at home, they're gonna,
that's covering the spread for what it's worth.
Yeah, it is. I know. Yeah, the spread is 38. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, I don't know. I feel as though Oklahoma consistently is just a little bit overrated year in and year out.
They certainly weren't last year in the first game. There's a school down the road that can attest to game one last year.
Sure.
With an unknown quarterback situation. They got a known quarterback situation now.
Right. If we're going to have to put scores on it, I would say that Oklahoma scores right around between either 35 or 42, somewhere in that neighborhood. I do think that Tech will score 24 points.
Whoa! I mean, how many times did Tech score 24 points all last season? That's something we can look up really quickly. Let's see.
I think they're going to get to 24. I think the defense is going to be able to give them a short field, at least once or twice or something, force a turnover, get some kind of momentum back for the offense.
They scored over 24 points three times last year.
It's a different offense than it was a year ago. It's a better we'll see the product on the field, but we believe that it's a better quarterback than a year ago. It's at least a more established quarterback situation than a year ago.
If they come out and score 24 points against an OU defense, I owe you dinner.
Deal.
We'll put that on the big board.
We have witnesses. 24. I mean, I don't think the 24 points is
the prof is rubbing the bed.
I don't think 24 points is outlandish. I think that's absolutely something that they could do. I mean,
I'm hopeful. You know that.
Sure, of course. I mean, I'm not coming on here and saying that they're going to win. Certainly not. I don't think it's going to be close.
And even at 17 points, I thought I was being generous saying that they're going to score 17. Honestly, that's a really good defense.
I just think that Manny Diaz will be able to do enough to at least give the offense the ball back in some kind of a short yardage situation, or force a big turnover, something that's going to be able to get them some kind of momentum.
I mean, Bama scored 31 on them last year.
I don't care what Alabama did last year. We're not talking about Alabama. This is Bleed Tech Blue Radio. We talk about Louisiana Tech.
I know, but my point is there's Alabama in the Sugar Bowl was able to score 7 points more than you are predicting.
Tweet us your predictions of what the score will be with hashtag BTB Radio, at BleedTechBlue.com, at TheJFord, at Jared W. King. Let us know what you think it'll be. Tell us who you agree with. Will it be 24? Will it be 17? Will it be 0? Give us your thoughts.
We'll get those off the air because we're running out of time. Let's cut it right here, John. Really appreciate you. Jared, good work today.
Always a pleasure.
Joe Dirt, good work on the ones and the twos and maybe the threes and the fours.
Are there even numbers on that board?
I don't know. I am Jay Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com and host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Come check us out on BleedTechBlue.com. $99 promotion going on. Rivals 99 is the promo code. With an annual subscription, get $99 worth of free gear. Come check us out, BleedTechBlue.com. See you next week.
You've been listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio with Jonathan Ford. Listen to Bleed Tech Blue Radio every Tuesday at 6 p.m. on ESPN 97.7.